Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
28 yards, Seth Small to knock off the number one team in the country. Good snap. Kick is on the way. It is up. It's good. It's good. And Texas A&M has shocked the world. They knock off Alabama 41-38.
And that is how it sounded last night right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as down goes Alabama. And we have a new number one in college football. The Georgia Bulldogs now number one in college football according to the latest AP rankings, as Texas A&M beats Alabama 41-38. Georgia, as we know, rolled over Auburn on the Plains 34-10 prior to the night game between Bama and the Aggies. Iowa victorious over Penn State 23-20, and Oklahoma rallied against Texas with a backup quarterback after Spencer Rattler was benched. Sooners win the Red River rivalry 55-48. And all those streaks were on the line last night in that big game between Alabama and A&M, a game in which many people thought, myself included, was an afterthought. Yeah, A&M has lost two in a row. Bama's going to win by three scores. And Alabama played one of the worst games I've ever seen them play from a discipline standpoint of the Nick Saban era. But all the streaks that were on the line, Alabama had won 19 straight games, longest streak in the nation. 24-0, that was Nick Saban's record against former Nick Saban assistants, until Jimbo Fisher pulled off the unthinkable last night as a 15-point home underdog. And this one is just going to blow you away, because Texas A&M went into that game last night unranked after losing two in a row. Nick Saban had won 100 straight games against unranked opponents. All of those streaks in the trash can. Bama loses. Dogs win. We have a new number one. So here's the question. And I think the answer is now fairly simple. And it's not prisoner of the moment. It's just look at what we saw. If Zach Calzada from Texas A&M can defeat Alabama as the backup for Texas A&M, going 21 of 31 for 285 and three touchdowns, well, then there's no reason JT Daniels can't beat Alabama. In fact, I think we now, and it's amazing, because look, as more information becomes available, you are entitled to adjust and change your opinion. You would be stupid not to. Stubborn guy is usually stupid guy. You can actually even argue now, although clearly I think JT would give us a better chance, but if Zach Calzada can beat Alabama, well, Stetson Bennett can beat Alabama, because Alabama's defense did not look that good. We already knew they weren't nearly as good as Georgia, but if they can get lit up by Zach Calzada, Stetson Bennett can certainly manage his way through and win that game in December. And I think now it should be a universal belief amongst Georgia Bulldog fans that there's no question we are the best team, and we should go into that championship game against Alabama, assuming that's what ends up happening and it's Georgia versus Alabama. I mean, I think there's a better chance of a meteor crashing in the city of Atlanta and wiping out civilization before we don't end up with Georgia-Alabama in that first Saturday in December. But the expectation should be, oh yeah, I feel very confident that we will beat Alabama. Not I think we can, but I think we will. That should be the belief of every Georgia Bulldog fan listening right now. Roddy Nabalsi from UGASports.com will join us coming up at 7 o'clock. The only argument right now, if you are just a bruised and beaten and battered Georgia fan that just knows it's going to go wrong at the end of the day, the only thought process where you're not buying into Georgia beating Alabama is Alabama, sleeping giant, they were awoken, they run the table the rest of the season, Saban goes on a scorched earth revenge tour and beats Georgia in the championship. That's the, because right now, pound for pound, player for player, man to man, Georgia's vastly better than Alabama. Vastly better. We know defensively for sure. I would argue on the offensive line, better, although the kid at Alabama, the left tackle, Neal, is pretty damn good. Quarterback-wise, okay, yeah, you got Bryce Young. I got that. But Georgia right now looks like a machine, and Alabama looks like maybe the fifth or sixth best team of the Nick Saban era. Go back to 2007, his first year, go through each team. This is kind of, you know, maybe one of those middle-of-the-road Saban teams if you're ranking all of them. I don't think Georgia fans should be walking around with any trepidation right now. The belief should be we will beat Bama. And if we don't, it is a cataclysmic failure. Because I don't know that you're ever going to be this good again defensively. I mean, Georgia giving up, going into yesterday's game, giving up 4.6 points per game. Auburn found a way to double that. They got 10. All right. And here we are. New rankings come out. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. I don't agree with them, but we will get to them because now, and I agree with Georgia number one decisively. So Georgia's the new number one at 6-0. Iowa, the new number two at 6-0. Cincinnati, number three, 5-0. Oklahoma, number four, 6-0. Alabama fell from 1-5, sitting at 5-1. Ohio State is at 6 at 5-1. Penn State is 7 at 5-1. Michigan undefeated at 8. Oregon one loss at 9. Michigan State undefeated at 10. Kentucky undefeated at 11. Dogs get Kentucky next week. College game day will be in Athens for that one. The game will be on CBS. And then Oklahoma State, the last unbeaten, at number 12. I don't think you can make the case Iowa, Cincinnati, and Oklahoma are better than Alabama, but it doesn't really matter because if Alabama runs the table and if they beat Georgia, they're getting in. So you're going to end up having a college football playoff in all likelihood if Georgia's undefeated, loses a close game to Alabama, Georgia and Bama get in. Iowa is, I think, going to finish the regular season undefeated because Iowa doesn't have a challenging game left. They've already beaten Penn State, Iowa State, and Indiana. They have a bunch of unranked Big Ten West teams left. Iowa will be undefeated going into the Big Ten championship. The only question is, are they playing one-loss Penn State, one-loss Ohio State, or undefeated Michigan? My gut feeling, it'll be Ohio State. But Penn State, who lost yesterday to Iowa 23-20, still controls their own destiny. Because they get to play Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. So if Penn State runs the table, they'll play Iowa. And then you're talking about Oklahoma, assuming they're undefeated, they would be in. And then the question is, okay, are we going two SEC teams, a Big Ten champion, and Oklahoma? Well, what about Cincinnati? You said we got to play Power Five schools. Well, we beat Indiana, we went into Notre Dame and beat the Irish. What more can we do? Cincinnati at three right now, but still might need help along the way. They would need Georgia to beat Bama. So then only one SEC team gets into the college football playoff. And we're getting close to the college football rankings coming out in their first installment. But just a wild day yesterday. I mean, it's been a wild weekend. All the craziness in the NFL in the early window today. We had drama yesterday early. Then it kind of died off in the mid-afternoon, the second tier of games in the mid-window. And then it picked up again late last night with Texas A&M stunning Alabama. 404-741-0929. If you guys have thoughts, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, that is available for you as well. Well, let's get to Kirby because he's got a juggernaut right now. And I don't even know that the offense has really shown us its full potential because we don't have George Pickens. Washington had a nice catch yesterday. I don't know that he's fully acclimated yet. And clearly, you know, JT Daniels, when healthy and cleared to go and starting, gives us an even added boost. Let's hear from the head coach, Kirby Smart, on his squad without JT Daniels.
Yeah, it's next man up mentality. That's what we talked about all week. It's going to be next man up, no matter who's in. We got a lot of guys hurt and beat up, including the quarterback. And, you know, we hope he's getting better. We feel like he's getting better. But, you know, Stetson played a hell of a game.
I got to give Kirby credit, and he's right. Stetson played a hell of a game on the road against Bo Nix and Auburn, and they played a really, really good game. And now you have a couple of games coming up where, you know, at least on paper, it looks juicy, right? You got Kentucky's undefeated. You get them at home. And then you get a week off, and then you have the cocktail party on Halloween night. And then you get a little bit of a break in the schedule with Missouri, but then you got to go to Knoxville. I don't think you'll have a problem with Tennessee, but Tennessee's scoring some points right now. Now, they haven't played a Georgia defense, but by Tennessee standards, they're starting to look relatively respectable in year one under Josh Heupel. And I would say this, and look, I don't want to get it twisted. There's no doubt JT's the best quarterback. He's the guy. But one thing I'm going to try to step back from is talking about JT Daniels like he's Tim Tebow. Hey, the reality is, JT Daniels has played, what, as many games as I have fingers on one hand? You know, we talk about JT Daniels like he's this 3 or 4 year starter with Aaron Murray's numbers and Matt Stafford's arm and Eric Zier's accolades and, you know, the last 25 years of Georgia. Like, JT Daniels has got some pedigree. But JT Daniels has had a cup of coffee with Georgia. And we act like he's a, you know, he's been here for, 32 career starts. That's one thing I'm going to start being cognizant of. I want to see him back. No disrespect to Stetson Bennett. But I think we got to stop acting like JT Daniels is the guy who reinvented the quarterback position. Because Georgia's winning games and Kirby Smart is winning games. And Stetson Bennett's now 6-2 as the Georgia starter. 404-741-0929 is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. All right, so how strong is this team? Let's hear from the head coach, Kirby Smart, talking about his team's strengths.
A really physical game, guys. You know, that was a really physical game. And now we've had two of those really physical games back to back. I told you we were beat up coming into it, and we're probably more beat up coming out of it. But I'm proud of the way the guys competed, man. Golly, just a lot of toughness showed through in that game.
And you know who's a just total joy to watch? N'Kobe Dean. Like, I don't know that he's the best linebacker in college football, but he's certainly one of them. He is just all over the field. Like, you can't watch a defensive series from Georgia and not have your eyes magnetized on N'Kobe Dean. It's like he's got like a magnet inherently placed in his body somewhere where it just attracts him to the football. Every single play, if he's not making the play, he's right there. I love watching that kid play. And I thought there were some stud linebackers on that Georgia team of 4 years ago that went to the Rose Bowl against Baker Mayfield in the playoff and then the national championship. I mean, this Georgia defense. You know, Auburn scored one touchdown. It felt like they hit the jackpot. Our defensive stats actually dropped because we gave up 10 points to Auburn. Pretty remarkable. 404-741-0929. Twitter is available for you as well, at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. But what also is unbelievable is, I mean, think about this. What a weekend. Like, when do we ever sweep the board? Falcons, Dogs, Braves. Speaking of the Braves, let's talk Braves. Let's talk Braves and Brewers on the other side. Our man Joe Patrick, Braves reporter, he'll stop by. Is this series even going to make it back to Milwaukee? We owe the city of Milwaukee one. Remember, NBA Eastern Conference Finals, Trey against Giannis, it didn't go our way. We can get a little city revenge by finishing off the Brew Crew in 4. Will they? We'll find out. We'll see what Joe thinks coming up next. Stay there.
Now back to the Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, welcome back in. Nick Kale Show here on this Sunday as we hang out till 7:30. Lead you right into Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs and the Bills. Big weekend in really the state of Georgia. We're just winning everything. Beat the Jets today across the pond. Dogs roll. They're the new number one. The Braves have evened up the NLDS best of five at a game apiece as the series now shifts back to Atlanta tomorrow right around lunchtime. And here to talk about the Braves and the NLDS is our very own Joe Patrick, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joseph, good to have you. How you doing, bud?
Nick, thanks for having me on, man. I was just listening to you. What a crazy, awesome weekend of sports it's been. Not just for the way the results have gone for us here in the state of Georgia, but it was all around, you know, just a crazy day of college football yesterday. It's just been awesome to kind of just embrace it all in.
No doubt about it. I am so exhausted. When I go to work tomorrow morning, I'm going to need like a 40-ounce Starbucks. I mean, it is going to be go time. It was go time for the Braves. They corrected a lot of the things that they couldn't execute from game one to game two. What was your biggest takeaway from yesterday's series evening victory?
I think my biggest takeaway is concerning Max Fried and just how excellent he was in what was probably the most pressure-packed kind of situation you can be in. Obviously, you can be in a more pressure-packed situation, I guess, if you're in a game five or a game that obviously decides whether your season is going to end. But I think, you know, for all intents and purposes, the Braves season was kind of riding on Max Fried's start yesterday, because if you go down 0-2, you got a huge hill to climb against a team like the Brewers. And he went out there and shut them down. And I was talking to your producer, Caleb Johnson, here about this yesterday. To talk about, you know, how in 2020 he went through a season where he really had to be the guy every time he came up because the Braves rotation was in such disarray and their bullpen was getting taxed because of it. So he had to go up there every time he started in 2020 with a lot of pressure on him to put in a performance, and he did. And I think that we really saw that reflect in the performance that we saw from him last night. Just the fact that the pressure did not get to him whatsoever, and he went out there and threw a gem just like he has been this whole second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he was flawless yesterday, and Charlie Morton was virtually flawless except for two minor mistakes, which came in the seventh inning. When you've seen what Charlie and Max have done in these back-to-back starts, is there any reason not to think that they're not good enough for us to go and make another deep run?
No, I think they totally are. And Charlie Morton's another guy, you know, you can't say enough good things about him and what he is as a pitcher at the age of 37 years old. You know, we obviously even past the age that most of us expect guys to really be able to perform. But if you look at the StatCast leaderboard of the top spinning pitches, the highest spun pitches in Major League Baseball this season, go look at him. Anyone listening, go look at it. It is all Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton can spin the ball harder than anybody in baseball, and that's why we saw the Braves extend him, you know, a contract extension for not just this year, but potentially for a couple more years. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Nick. I think that when you look at what the Braves have in those two guys you can match up with the best of anyone in baseball, and the Braves are in that situation right now against the Brewers, where you're going up against guys like Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff, who are two of the best in baseball. You know, Corbin Burns is probably going to win the Cy Young this year, but they're just showing that they can go toe-to-toe with those guys, and that gives the Braves a chance in any postseason series. When you have two starters that can do that, that gives you a fighting chance against anybody you play, and I think that's what's exciting for this team right now, despite the fact that they've, you know, lost so many players during the course of the season. Of course, they're going into this postseason without a guy like Ronald Acuña Jr. If you have those two starters performing the way they are, you've got a shot against anybody.
It is our Braves reporter, Joe Patrick, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Another good one tomorrow. Peralta's a sub-3 ERA pitcher. He's up against Ian Anderson. What's the approach to getting maybe an early lead against this guy, maybe doing something that we couldn't do in the first inning of game one?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the Braves have been really good early in these games, in both the games, really, about being patient. And I think that, again, having a guy like Jorge Soler at the top of the order, not only does he give you the threat of the power that Ronald Acuña Jr. has given you the last couple of years being at the top of this lineup, but he also gives you the really disciplined plate appearances that Ronald Acuña Jr. does as well. And so he can walk, he can hit for some average, you know, he can obviously hit the home runs. But I think that he sets a really good tone at the top of this lineup. And I think for the Braves, you have a bunch of hitters that are really disciplined, and especially when you have a guy following him and Freddie Freeman, that's a really tough 1-2 to go up against at the top of a game, because those guys are going to work you really hard right off the bat. So I think the Braves need to capitalize that on that. You know, they were not able to capitalize. They didn't take their opportunity in game one of this series, and we saw how that came back to bite them. So I think they have a chance to get at Peralta early. Of course, the home run ball is always going to be a threat for the Braves. They hit home runs out just about more than anybody in all of baseball. But I really think that when you look at the top of the order, you've got a chance to really put a pitcher in Peralta under some pressure, you know, a guy who maybe doesn't have quite the playoff experience. And it would be a huge benefit to give a young guy like Ian Anderson an early lead to work with during the game.
You know, I know Mike Bell loves to bang the drum for the Liberty media needs to open up their checkbook. And I totally agree. And sometimes it gets very frustrating when you feel like you're close. And if you spent like the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox, you'd get a championship. But then I kind of took a step back and I was just kind of looking at the playoff landscape. And I'm watching Tampa Bay and they don't spend any money. And I recall in 97, the Marlins won. They didn't spend money. The Marlins won again in 03. They didn't spend money. Like, I get it. You know, if you have a $200 million payroll, you have a really great shot. But the notion that you have to spend top five money to win a World Series or at least get to one, I'm starting to think is a little bit overrated.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And I think that, you know, honestly, Nick, I think that when we talk about this, I think we kind of conflate two things. I think that it's one thing to have the opportunity to add payroll, whether it's in the off season or even during the season. But it's another thing, you know, to go out and get like these star players that are often, you know, touted at the trade deadlines, like what the Dodgers did in paying huge money, both on their payroll. And their prospects to go out and get guys like Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. But, you know, it was very, very interesting hearing from Alex Anthopoulos when the players and everybody was celebrating down on the field after the team had clinched the NL East. I was down there, you know, hearing from Alex Anthopoulos, and he was saying that at the trade deadline, Terry McGuirk, the Braves chairman, made more money available to Alex Anthopoulos than he ever thought would have been able to. In fact, he said, we could have signed anybody. He said, we could have signed anybody in baseball. That's the kind of money we were working with. But I think the brilliance of Alex Anthopoulos was, despite the fact that maybe he had the opportunity to go out and spend more than he thought he would have, he went out and made the right moves that were the right moves for this team. And I think that, you know, when you look at the way he was able to revamp that outfield, add a key pitcher in Richard Rodriguez that really stabilized the bullpen at the time, although I know he's not with the team on this NLDS roster. I just think that, you know, Alex Anthopoulos made the exact right move, and it showed that you can be shrewd with signings while not maybe splashing out always on the big star names that a lot of fans always want to bring in.
You alluded to the Dodgers. They got a victory. They evened up their NLDS series with the Giants at a game apiece. Gut feeling, how do you think that thing's going to shake out over the final three games?
Man, I'm going to keep rolling with the Giants. I mean, I know it's kind of crazy to think that a team like the Dodgers with all the star power that they have wouldn't advance, past the NLDS here. But the Giants are just such a good team, and they do so many interesting things. I actually heard that they do some BP work that is really kind of different. Like, they take pitches from different angles, from like the right side of the mound, the left side of the mound, to try to get some more, you can get comfortable with certain arm slots that they might see from certain pitchers. They just have a really interesting organization and management, both in the front office and then obviously on the field. And so I'm going to keep rolling with the Giants, man. I think that they just are that kind of team that has that kind of juju with them. But I do also think that the Braves would be able to contend with either of those teams if the Braves are able to advance the NLCS because of what we talked about earlier. Yep. With the starting pitching. And I think that the Braves, when they played the Giants just recently here and toward the end of the season, they showed, you know, they were going toe-to-toe with them in all those games. So I think if you're a Braves fan, you got to be pretty optimistic about your chances here, with where you sit right now at 1-1 in the NLDS.
Red Sox right now, I want to get your thoughts in the American League real quick before we wrap it up. They're leading the Rays 4-2. They could be on their way to a 2-1 series lead. Houston up 2-0 on the White Sox. They'll look to close them out later this evening. Gut feeling on who do you think emerges from both of those series and who wins the American League?
I've always been a huge Rays backer. I love kind of the mentality of that club, about how they kind of embrace the fact that they are not kind of the biggest names and the biggest payrolls like we were talking about earlier. But, you know, I do think the Red Sox look like they have something different about them. And they're just kind of giving me the vibe that they're going to come through and win this series, especially where that game stands now. In the other series, I think it's pretty clear, just having watched those first two games, that the Astros are just kind of overmatching the White Sox, really. Despite the additions that the White Sox were able to make in the second half of the season, it's hard for me to see a way for them to get past the Astros, especially with where the series stands right now. And I got to throw out there, you know, Nick, you know, a lot of fans are expecting a 1 p.m. start tomorrow for this Braves-Brewers game, which is what it is. But if the Astros close out this series tonight, that start time will be moved tomorrow to 4:37. So if you're a Braves fan, maybe if you're going to the game tomorrow, that's one thing to kind of keep an eye on and just be aware of, is that if that series ends, the Braves will slot into the next, you know, there will be essentially one less game that has to be played tomorrow, and the Braves will move up a slot on the TV schedule.
Great information. That's what you get from Joe Patrick, our Braves reporter. You can follow him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. Great stuff as always, Joe. I appreciate the time on a Sunday.
Thanks for having me on, Nick. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Joe Patrick joining us, WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. I'm all in on the Rays. I love the way they go about their business with limited funds. And I know the White Sox are not a great team, but there's something when I'm sitting here looking at that Houston series, I'm looking at it and I'm like, I think there's something about Houston that wants to show that the whole cheating scandal post-championship was somewhat overblown. Not that I'm thinking it, you know, I don't think it was overblown. It definitely had an impact, and you shouldn't be doing it. But I still think Houston's a talented team, and I think they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. So whether it's the Red Sox or the Rays, I think Houston will give them all they can handle. I know Houston is, you know, technically the 2 seed in the American League, so it's not like they're a massive underdog, but I'm kind of, you know, when we get to the ALCS and you get those betting lines out, I might sprinkle a little bit on the Houston Astros. That just might be a pick on the show coming up later. Speaking of the picks, if you listened to the show yesterday, man, we have absolutely crushed it. I gave you, let me see what I gave you yesterday on this show. I gave you Kentucky -3.5. We gave you the Steelers -1.5. The Texans +8.5. Crushed it on the Saturday selections going into today. Maybe we'll sprinkle a little Sunday night pick before we get out of here. All right, coming up next, I want to open up we're going to do two things. I'm going to open up the phones. We've done plenty of Falcons. We've done a little bit on the Dogs in college football, and we just hit on the Braves there. Open phones, Falcons, Dogs, Braves. Your choice. You got to take 404-741-0929. The number. Open phones, 404-741-0929. And I also got some more audio to get to with the Falcons. Nick Hale Show. We're back after this. Roddy Nabulsi on the Dogs in about 25 minutes. Stay there. Rolling on live here on this Sunday as we hang out till 7:30. Sunday Night Football coming up, the Chiefs and the Bills. We'll make a pick on that game before we get out of here. We'll also go around the NFL, look at all the games that are going on in the late window, as well as takeaways and thoughts from the early slate. Great weekend in Atlanta sports. Falcons victorious. Braves even at a game apiece as they return home tomorrow. Dogs #1 in the latest college football rankings after Georgia dismantles Auburn. And Bamba stumbles at College Station. 404-741-0929. The number. Roddy Nabulsi will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll talk Dogs and college football with him. But right now, some open phones. If you want to talk Braves, Falcons, Dogs, you name it, let's wrap. Let's start it off with Alexander in Riverdale, who's up next. What's going on, Alex?
I'm doing all right. Really good commentator overall. I know everyone's happy this afternoon. I'm glad I saw improvement. I've been seeing improvement week to week when it comes to the Falcons. Matt Ryan, he's shutting me up. He's actually performing better than I could have anticipated. He still can make throws. And Kyle Pitts is a part of the offense. I give Alex Smith credit, man. He's really creative, and he's getting comfortable with his personnel. Overall, when it comes to the Bulldogs, you're right. I haven't seen a defense this good since Alabama. And Alabama didn't have this many athletes on their front seven. This front seven Kirby has, it really doesn't matter the quarterback. It really doesn't. The defense is really that good. I just need him to keep that intensity, because one slip up, it can cost them the overall prize. And as far as the Braves, you still got to show me something in playoffs. You do. I'm never really worried about the pitching per se. It's the timely hitting that really I worry about. It's the lack of walks. It's the impatience. It's the first pitch strikes. And I know that's how, you know, today's baseball, they play. That's the only thing I worry about with the Braves. Can they be patient enough to get the timely hits when needed? Because, yeah, they shut out the Brewers yesterday, but they had so many more opportunities if they were just more patient. But overall, it's been a good weekend for the fans overall, and what I saw this weekend was improvement. And that's all I want to see on a week-to-week basis.
All right, Alexander, we appreciate the call. Thank you for checking in. I mean, just to comment on all three things that you hit on. I mean, it's amazing what Matt Ryan's capable of. If he has a functional offensive line, a defense that can make a few stops. I mean, you know, I think we really expect Matt Ryan to be Superman every single week just because he's a franchise quarterback. He's been here forever, and he makes a ton of money. You know, the last time I checked, there were 22 starters on an NFL team. And sometimes, and maybe even a lot of times, the franchise quarterback, the elite quarterback, can cover up a lot of holes. But, I mean, with some of the holes we've had for the last couple of years, you can only ask Matt to do so much, especially considering he's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't Drew Brees. He was really never in those top 3 to 5 quarterback category short of, you know, the MVP season from 5 years ago. With you on the dogs, don't slip up. I don't think they will, because if you slip up and then lose to Bama, then it's a total mess. If you run the table and still find a way, and I don't think that they will. My preseason prediction was that Georgia would beat Alabama in the SEC championship. But even if you lose to them in an epic game, final possession, I mean, this Georgia team has been so dominant. I'd be stunned if they got left out. And as far as your point on the Braves, I'm with you, although they've been, I think, pretty patient at the plate the first couple of games. You know, especially the first couple of innings. You know, they got Corbin Burns, his pitch count up, and they let him off the hook. But I think they've been relatively patient the first two games, especially early on in the first couple of innings. So we'll see if that can continue against Peralta tomorrow. We'll see. That could either be a 1 or a 4:30 game, depending on the way the schedule shakes out today with games in progress. 404-741-0929. John in Atlanta is up next. John, what's going on? Hey, John, you there? John is not there. Yep, John, he's gone. All right, John's having a conversation, I think, in the background. We could have eavesdropped, but I don't know how the regulations work for that. I don't feel like getting fired on a Sunday night. But anyway, 404-741-0929. We'll take your calls, riding the Bolsey, in about 15 minutes. We'll go around the NFL at 7:20. So we did a lot on the Braves in the last 20 minutes, a lot on the Dogs to kick off hour two. A big first hour on the Falcons. That's what we'll get back to now. They beat the Jets 27-20. And as I said to start the show, I thought it was a complete team victory. Some days it's, oh, we're going to crush this guy. Other days it's you get a win and it was all because of one dude. Today was like the ultimate team approach. The defense made stops. The offensive line was fantastic. The weapons showed up. Matt was virtually flawless. And I gave out 5 game balls to start the show in this order. Number 1, the offensive line. I thought the offensive line from left to right played their best game I've seen them play in a long time. From Jake Matthews to Jalen Mayfield to Hennessy to Lindstrom to McGarry, this offensive line provided a lot of balance. We were able to run the ball. We were able to play action off of it. Matt was comfortable all day. He had time to throw. Pitts, Patterson, the whole group. So offensive line, game ball number 1. Game ball number 2, Kyle Pitts, targeted 10 times, 9 catches, 100 plus yards, first career touchdowns. And now it's like, oh, okay, so that's why they took Kyle Pitts at number 4. I got you. All right. And when you watch him play, I mean, it's shades of Calvin Johnson. It's shades of Julio Jones, a little Tony Gonzalez. He's a very unique individual. So I thought he had a fantastic game, obviously. Cordarrelle Patterson might be the offseason pickup of the year, short of a quarterback. Outside of a quarterback move this offseason that I'm not thinking of, I know the first 3 weeks, Sam Darnold looked pretty good for the Panthers, but Cordarrelle Patterson was just out there. And Terry Fontenot scooped him up, like just all clandestine, swooped right in, and boom. Cordarrelle Patterson, come on down. Have yourself a career. He's having a heck of a season. So I would give him game ball number 3, game ball number 4 to Matt Ryan, and then game ball number 5 to Dean Pease and the defense. All right, let's hear from some of our key contributors that led the way to a victory today over the Jets that got us to 2-3. We go into the bye, and then we have a very more manageable schedule coming out. Let's hear from the head coach, Arthur Smith, talking about the victory today.
Yeah, I'm really proud of these guys, Arch. We got such a special group of guys. I mean, you know, a lot of people use cliches, but these guys live it. You know, these guys are fearless. They fight, and it's the next guy up. And you see it, you know, week after week as that growth and improvement. And it's really cool coming across the pond here, getting the win.
Sure was. And it's just a beautiful thing. Think about, like, how much we own the city of New York. We defeated the New York Knicks in the first round of the playoffs. We have rallied back to win the NL East, past the Mets, past the Phillies. We beat the Giants a couple of weeks ago. And now we beat the Jets. I know New York sports really isn't that good, short of the Yankees. And even they underachieve with all the money Brian Cashman spends. But isn't it beautiful just making the city of New York your you-know-what? God, it's a beautiful concept. I love it. All right, let's hear from Matt Ryan about his new weapon, fourth overall pick, Kyle Pitts.
Thought he played outstanding. And, you know, I think that with young players, the development that they make each week is huge. And you can see his confidence beginning to grow. He just needs to keep his mindset the same, which has been to come to work every day, get better. And I really think he's doing a great job with that, keeping things simple and not buying into the noise, either positive or negative, and just going to work. And he played outstanding for us today.
And, you know, you look at his numbers. There was only one game this year through five games where he was really not involved. And if you look at the history, and I mentioned this back on draft night when we selected him, and all throughout the summer with expectations, look at the history of rookie tight ends. They don't come in from day one. Very few. If you want to pull up Gonzalez, Witten, Gronk, Gates, any tight end over the last 25, 30 years, as we've seen this shift in the NFL with the athletic tight end that just goes basically to a wide receiver position, their rookie seasons, it's not like they haul in 82 catches for 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns. So it takes a little bit of time. But Kyle Pitts, I think he's right after today's game, I think he's right where he needs to be through five games. Let's hear from Kyle Pitts talking about his first career touchdown.
Felt great. Just all the preparation and the practice that, you know, all through the week, all the hard work that we put in, and to see it come to fruition was pretty exciting.
I mean, here's the thing, too. Now he gets 2 weeks. He's going to return to the state of Florida, which he's certainly familiar with. And then you get the Miami Dolphins. And then after that, you get two division games against two teams that have nothing to do with Tom Brady or Tampa Bay. Those are winnable games. You're going up against Jacoby Brissett with 14 days rest. You're going up against Sam Darnold, who's lost two games in a row, who's been throwing a bunch of interceptions, who's rejoined civilization on planet Earth after walking on water for the first 3 weeks. And then you get our buddy, a guy we certainly are accustomed to, back in his days in Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston. 4-4, 5-3. It feels achievable. I get it. The Jets and the Giants, they're not the 08 Jets with Rex Ryan. They're not the 2007 Giants that beat Tom Brady. I get it. But you look at the quarterbacks, you look at the teams we're going to face, we're right there with them. You win 2 out of 3, you're 4-4. If you win all 3, you're 5-3. And I don't know what that actually means, other than the fact that we have a second half of a season where we are fully invested. I mean, we might end up still finishing ninth in the NFC. I don't know. Maybe we get to Thanksgiving and we're right there when they put the graphic up on TV with division leaders, wild cards, clinch this, clinch that, and then they have the in the hunt category. And there's like four teams that are 500. Maybe we'll be there. I would say that's progress. Look at how many games we won last year. Look at how many games we've won this year so far. Look at the schedule. I mean, you're never going to, and you know, it's a shame we're not built for a championship right now, because if we were, what we would be able to pull off with the quarterbacks on our schedule who we are facing this year is remarkable. Take a look at the quarterbacks that the Atlanta Falcons are going to face in 1 year. Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, Taylor Heineke, Zach Wilson, Jacoby Brissett, Sam Darnold twice, Jameis Winston twice, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Jared Goff. You get Dak, Josh Allen, and Tom Brady. I'm just going to add this up on the fly right now. I think we're basically every rookie quarterback from the draft class we play. Trey Lance, yep. Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, yep. Mac Jones, Patriots, yep. Zach Wilson, Jets. I mean, you know, you can only ask for so much from the scheduling gods. We got a gift this year. 404-741-0929. Let's wrap it up with a couple of calls. Let's get to Maurice, who's next on 92.9 The Game. What's up, Maurice?
Hey, what's going on? I'm going to make it short and sweet. I want to say go Dawgs, go Braves, go Falcons, and the best weekend ever is Woe Tide.
There you go, Maurice. Appreciate it. Let me try to squeeze in one more before we wrap up the second hour. Jeff in Ackworth up next. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening.
What's going on?
Hey, just returned from College Station, driving home right now. I am an A&M fan, but also got to give credit to the Dawgs. They do look good. They do look good, and Alabama does look like they are kind of beatable this year, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, I have never been to a game like I was at last night. It was just off the roof, incredible. And yeah, I've been to every stadium in the SEC.
Oh, good
and
for
I've
you.
Just never experienced anything like last night.
Nice. Well, congratulations, man. And, you know, I don't know what it is about A&M, Jeff, but you guys have now defeated the number one team three times in the history of your program. Two of those are against Alabama, and both of them are in the Nick Saban era.
Yep, exactly. And one other thing that I didn't realize until this morning is yesterday was Jimbo's birthday, and it was 1 year ago yesterday that A&M upset Florida. It was the exact same score, the exact same scenario.
Oh, yeah,
the exact
yeah.
Same time. 2 seconds left on the clock with Smalls kicking the field goal.
Yep.
The same center, the same holder.
Kellen Mond beating Kyle Trask. Yep.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
He comes back to Small in his foot.
All right.
But you're right. And, hey, one other thing I'll throw out.
Mm-hmm.
A&M's quarterback, a lot of folks may not realize this, he's an Atlanta product.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that.
Zach Calzada played football at Lake Lanier High School.
Okay.
And so he is a graduate of Lake Lanier, and he has come leaps and bounds, and he has just an amazing arm on him. And we were finally able to see it yesterday, as we have the youngest offensive line in the SEC, and they were able to hold up yesterday to give him that bit. But I, at the same time, I can't take anything away from the Dawgs in that, and I'm not going to say that I'm a Dawgs fan. I'm not, but I have to give credit where credit's due. Man, their front seven is just unreal, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just you have to tip your hat to their front seven. The only other thing I'll say is I hope the Dawg fans aren't upset with the Aggies and that we have the first assistant to beat to beat Nick and that we didn't allow Kirby to have that luxury.
Yep. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. I got to run, but yeah, you're right. It's Kirby. Kirby had him down for 117 out of 120 minutes and did not get it done either time. Lane Kiffin hasn't been able to do it. You go on down the list, but finally Jimbo Fisher does it. Remember back in May, Jimbo Fisher said at like some booster meeting, oh, we're going to kick Alabama's you-know-what, with Nick Saban still as the coach. I thought that was bulletin board material, but in fact, 5 months later, it is reality. But the Dawgs, number one in the country. But how good are Georgia? How good is this defense? Is this team able to beat Alabama even with Stetson Bennett, if that's the case come December? We'll get those answers from Roddy Nabalsi coming up next. Nick Kale Show. Stay there.
Other food delivery apps add surprise fees, but Domino's is giving away surprise frees, like free cheesy bread or handmade pan pizza when you order delivery online. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents 13 and up through 11/21/21. Odds of winning are 1 in 14. See rules at surprisefrees.domino's.com for free entry, blackout dates, restrictions, and details.
Hugh Douglas is here to tell you about North Atlanta Hair Restoration. So I had a chance to go see Dr. Daniel the other day, and boy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.